This conference will now be recorded.
Well, thank you for joining us today on this podcast. As you know, we're having podcasts, and the podcasts are just awesome. And today we have an exceptional person. We've been going after the icons in our industry. And if you looked at the word icon and philanthropy, you'd see Jerry Lindsay's picture in there. If you don't know Jerry Lindsay or know of Jerry Lindsay, you've not been in this industry very long or been under a rock for a while. I could tell you all the accolades for Jerry, but I'd rather spend the time with him and communicating with you two really important thoughts or questions. And let me begin with the first one, Jerry. What have you learned that's really made a difference? You've been doing this, what, almost 50 years?
50 years at least. I tell you, Eddie, I think early on, when I was just a development officer, I served as a development officer for university and two hospitals, and then before becoming a consultant. And I also was in private business as well. Consulting is private business as well, but I was in a private business doing something entirely outside of fundraising. But what I found out was, from all that experience, that that it's a cumulative process, that everything that you learn at one place, it can be applied to the next place. And so I concluded that, I tended to think of myself in many ways as a dream maker in some ways for the organizations that I work for or the clients I work for, that we wanted to, whether they were a volunteer or a fundraiser, or development officer, you know, how do we lead that process to accomplish the kind of dreams they have for their organization? And I also concluded that as opposed to people who say, I had a friend who used to say, you know, we don't want to diminish what we do as fundraisers because it's a noble profession. We don't want to have people say, you know, go out and hit up someone or ding someone for this or that. And so what I found out was that what we do is honorable, and that we do make dreams come true. And as a basis, then it was built the foundation that I was able to grow forward on and to build upon. And so that made a huge difference for me in my career going forward. And the other was just simply being able to, a willingness to know that you don't know everything. And in fact, in my case, I knew very little, it seems, because I kept learning going forward. And I thought, I thought I knew that, but I guess I didn't. And so I was able to reach out to other people. I had the privilege of working with Jerry Panis for 30 years, who was a great mentor and teacher, and Don Gray, who was at the University of Wisconsin, and Bill Sturdivant at the University of Illinois, and other people like that. And I found with development officers, they're always willing to help or provide advice or counsel or just to answer a simple question for you. So you've got to be willing to not be full of yourself, but just to say, you know, if I don't have an answer, somebody must have an answer, and let me reach out to do that. And that's kind of what I learned going forward, at least in one sense of the word.
You know, you make a tremendous amount of sense. What's the biggest mistake you made, and what did you learn from it?
Well, I think the biggest mistake was assuming that I knew more than I assumed, and not reaching out to get help. And even when I looked at a project or looked at or an issue or something that I wanted to help somebody accomplish, and the unwillingness to look out and talk to other people or get outside the box for a long time. I'm one of those people, as my wife would say, who hates change. And so, you know, I had a favorite shirt, and I would keep it, and every time I'd find it go to a charity or to be thrown away, and I'd go pull it back out and say, what's going on here? So early on, I had, you know, if you do something and you do it successfully, you have it gives you in some ways a false confidence that everything is going to work just the way it worked the last time. And so the hardest thing I had to learn for myself, and then therefore to pass on to people I work with, either institutionally or as a consultant, was to be able to say to them, you know, it worked, it has worked this way for a long time, but this is a different circumstance. It won't work that way again. And you really got to make those adjustments and be thinking more about that. And so having been burned several times myself, that was a valuable lesson to learn. And though I'm still reluctant to change, I have to confess, but having known the price you pay if you don't when you need to, then that's the lesson to be learned, I think.
What have you learned about boards, Jerry?
Well, you know, there book you read and every article you read about boards always stress the importance of what the board's role is in your organization, that they're the leaders, that they are the people who set the agenda in many ways, and who are the donors and the getters, so to speak, quote unquote. That lesson is as much information as out there about it, and there are seminars and workshops, and we do them ourselves, about board development and how you have a more effective board. And it's a continual amazement to me when I meet with organizations, large and small, the fact that lessons aren't learned very well and planning is not done very well. Our view has been that the board of trustees or the board of directors, whatever their board of governors, whatever the nomenclature is, they are key right there with your mission. And if they really have only three roles. In a sense, one is the strongest one is, of course, being fundraising to generate charitable support for your organization and the mission. The second one is to be a strong advocate for you, a roaring advocate, really, for your mission and your organization. And the third, depending on the kind of board it is, of course, if it's a hospital board or as opposed to a foundation board, and maybe even the foundation board, is to the governance responsibility to hire and fire the chief executive. So they have those three primary roles. And they often get off into all these other kinds of areas, and in many cases, not to have to go ask somebody else for a gift. So when you sit down and look at a board, potential board member, and you say to them, you know, well, this person comes to us, and he or she has a great network of people in this community. They've been working with others, and we know that they support all these things, and they've got this will date me, of course, referring to my instead of my online directory, but my Rolodex. So if you look at all that, and they say, "Gee whiz, that'll be a big help to us." So the question I always ask is, "Look, they've got a great network, but have they agreed to use the network? I mean, if they're going to come on and not reach out to those people to help you, then what's the point?" So it's amazing how strategically important they are, and how non-strategic we tend to treat the process of identifying and recruiting new board members. And that's a mistake that gets made by organizations large and small.
Do you believe, Jerry, you've had a long, distinguished career, but as you pause today and you look at the current environment, and let's go back to, let's say, the mid-80s, how has philanthropy changed?
Well, I'm not sure I can remember that far back. the 80s, the philanthropy hasn't really changed, I don't think, all that much. There are certainly, because of tax considerations and changes and all that, there are certain the way people want to give their gifts, whether it's through plan giving and through their estate plans and all that, or if it's an annual support or capital campaigns, those kind of things, it seem to me, have remained not all that much different than they were in the 80s. Our level of the development officers' level of sophistication and how to work with that has changed, I think, considerably in a positive way, because there's much more education and much more experience in all those areas to help out. In that sense, it's not changed. There is a lot more competition today. There are a lot more. I think the absence of qualified, in many ways, even though there are people who do practice the art, in particularly in plan giving and in major gifts and so on, those are people who do that successfully are much better than they ever were, I think, and because there's so much education and things that they have they didn't have before, perhaps. But there is not a solid program of development officers who at the beginning level who really stay. So turnover continues to
Yes.
be a huge issue today, and it was probably back then as well. But they just don't stick around long enough. And so when I meet with I do a little series that I have on my own. I have mentored in my community young development officers, and I have this program. If you forgive my ego, it just says Coffee with Jerry. And so we meet at a coffee shop in a morning at about 7:30 or 8, and we just have coffee, and they're able to. It's like a park benching process. They can just ask questions. We can talk about their career. We can talk about major gifts. We can talk about anything they want to talk about for generally an hour to an hour and a half. And it's just surprising to me that when we do that, and I and I talk to a young person like that, and I find that this person has great talent, very understands at least the process of building relationships with a donor and et cetera. But and in 6 months I found that they left and went somewhere else simply because they really didn't want to go out and ask somebody for a gift or they weren't making a lot of money at that level. So I don't, and I find that it's kind of across the board, whether it's working for a hospital or a young person yep. coming to the university or to the Humane Society or whatever it might be. So
Jerry,
not change.
We've taken more time than I asked you to give today. I just want to say how much I appreciate you and what an icon you are in our industry, and we are so thankful for your leadership, but most importantly, we're thankful for your heart. You're a good man, Jerry Lindsay.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
All right, Jerry. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, and always be listening to us, and we'll have other icons on here in the future.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.